All right. Could you just say your name?
Doug Ducey.
All right. Governor Ducey, thank you so much for coming into KAWC. I want to begin very generally about this campaign. What do you know now, having been governor, having campaigned before, about the job, about campaigning, and maybe even about Arizona voters that you didn't know last time?
Well, Lou, as a governor, of course, you get better as you go. You become a wiser and smarter leader. And Arizona is a great state. It's a state that is growing. It's a state that's going in the right direction. But I know how to work things inside the government better than I did. I was an outsider. I was a newcomer. I was a business person. There is a learning curve in getting the right people in the right positions, not only on your senior staff, but across the agencies and the boards and commissions that are there to serve our taxpayers. We're doing a lot better today than we were when I first came into office. I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish, and we're kicking off this campaign for re-election.
So let's talk about some of the big issues then. And I know that border security is a very important issue to you and keeping the public safe. Talk a little bit about Secure Arizona and in particular the Border Strike Force.
So border security is national security. It's been an important component of our administration. We put together the Border Strike Force, and this was because Washington, D.C. 3 years ago was not listening to us. And we've got drug cartels and human traffickers and bad things that are happening at the border. We wanted to get local law enforcement partnered with county sheriffs and our Department of Public Safety at the state level. Now we're actually working with the federal level. So I think there's a lot more that we can do there. We're actually going to say about the campaign that we're here to secure Arizona's future. And that's going to be economically. That's going to be making our schools safer. And we want safer neighborhoods, of course. But it's also going to be about border security.
When you're talking about border security and you're sitting in on probably a lot of meetings about border security and the Arizona-Mexico border, how do you strike a balance between respect for law, respect for human rights, and even the optics of enforcement practices and philosophies that maybe don't always look good on television, especially when you've got a large voter block in Arizona that might be turned off by that? How do you strike that balance?
Well, I think we've struck the balance pretty well. And the idea is that when we're talking about border security, we really are talking about public safety. But if you look at the other side of the equation, the trade relationship that we have with Mexico, and this is our largest trading partner times four, I think it's at an all-time record high. We had the Arizona-Mexico Commission Summit last week. It was a sold-out, standing-room-only crowd in Tucson. I've got a real relationship with Claudia Pavlova, that she was the first female governor in the history of Sonora. So we're going to continue to focus on that relationship. That's the good guys, the trading, the trucking, the transit, the tourism. But when we talk about security, that's mutually exclusive of that. That is about drug cartels and human trafficking. So nobody wants to see those guys succeed. So we're going to continue to focus with the good guys, and that's going to be one situation. But when we talk about border security, that's going to be about the criminal activity that's happening. And we're working, our law enforcement leaders are working with law enforcement leaders on the other side of the border to interdict these bad guys as well.
Well, I'd ask in particular because Yuma is often touted as one of the most secure sector along the U.S.-Mexico border, in part because of that partnership that you've touted in terms of the strike force between federal, local, and state officials. But Yuma's been doing that for a long time. Do you worry that the rhetoric sometimes outpaces the problem, especially for people who live on the border who may not have that experience, who don't see violence coming across the border every day, who don't feel like their community is overrun?
I am concerned sometimes with the rhetoric and the tone, and that's why as the governor, as the chief executive in the state of Arizona, as someone who can speak on behalf of the state and be a spokesperson for the state, I've been very measured in what I want to accomplish. And that's why I'm so proud of not only the relationship we have with the Arizona-Mexico Commission and the state of Arizona and Sonora, but also that we're able to work with law enforcement leaders on how we can make the state of Arizona a safer place. I think that virtuous cycle of a growing economy, a K-12 education system that works, and then a safe and secure border and public safety around our state are the components of quality of life in the state of Arizona.
A lot of talk, though, nationally, of course, about a wall. Do you really envision a much bigger wall through the heart of San Luis, Arizona?
Well, I think when you look at the border in Arizona, about two-thirds of that border today has a physical barrier. And when you hear about some of these stories of coyotes or human trafficking, it's not happening at the ports oftentimes. It's happening at the wide open and unprotected parts of the state. So I think the physical barriers that we can put there, along with technology and manpower on the ground, are all components of the equation that we need for a solution on border security.
And surely San Luis has a quality of life it doesn't want interrupted.
Well, I don't think that anyone wants a quality of life interrupted, but we have to also be aware of the realities that are happening at the border. We're seeing this right now in terms of another surge. We went through this 4 years ago in June. My heart really breaks for these families and these kids when I've seen these separations. But we also have some human traffickers who are using kids as pawns, and I don't want to see an incentive out there, especially when it's 112 degrees in the middle of the desert. We all know what can happen in those types of situations. So just from a humane perspective and to do things the best possible way, we have called on Congress to reform these laws and to improve this system. But I also want to be supportive of the border agents, the Americans that are down there on the border doing the hard work.
And I want to move on to education, but I do want to ask you quickly one more question about the border, and that is, how do you stay informed about what the federal government's up to? How do you stay informed about what immigrants are detained in Arizona? Or do you keep a day-to-day sort of running tally of what's going on?
Well, I have a good relationship with this administration, and I had a good relationship with the past administration. I worked very closely with Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson on the Super Bowl, and we talked a lot about if we could have the same relationship, the same partnership that we had that allowed Arizona to shine to the world in hosting the Super Bowl, if we could have that kind of communication on the border, we could do a much better job. My first visit in this new cabinet was to then General John Kelly, who was then later Homeland Security Secretary. I asked for his first trip to be to Arizona. I said, this has been the epicenter of this border debate for the last decade. And I talk with Kirstjen Nielsen about every other week now, especially with this situation in surge. She came out and visited. We toured the border together. We were in communication the day before yesterday. So there's nothing like relationships. There's nothing like that information. And then, of course, I've got a great team, and we've got analytics that we measure to see what's happening at the border, what the federal numbers are, and then are they reinforced or validated by our law enforcement. And we've got local police chiefs. We've got border sheriffs, and of course, we've got the Department of Public Safety.
Let's move on to education. You've touted a big raise for teachers this past year, actually, is when this all came up. A lot of people might say, though, that you were sort of dragged into that. What's your take on that? Do you see it that way?
I'm proud of what we've been able to do in terms of K-12 education funding. Per pupil spending is up over 10%. We've put $2.7 billion additional dollars into K-12 education without raising taxes. We led on Prop 123, which was $3.5 billion in additional dollars, again, without raising taxes. We signed Proposition 301, a 20-year extension, which was $667 million over the next 20 years on an annual basis. And our economy is booming in the state of Arizona. I've said that teachers are the most important people, in addition to the parents that are raising these kids in front of a classroom. These are people that have earned and deserved a raise. When the state found itself in such strong financial footing, even though I only have 1 year left in my term and I'm running for a second term, we put out a 3-year plan that will commit to a 20% pay increase for our teachers by school year 2020. It's something I'm proud of. I'm on the side of the teachers.
And how do you counter the argument there that they're concerned that there's no dedicated funding?
There is dedicated funding. There's the general fund there, and it's been advance appropriated. That hasn't happened in the past. And my commitment has been, if there was a legislature that would come in and would want to change that funding, I'd veto that budget. That's my commitment. I led on the 20% pay increase. We announced that on April 11th. We were able to get it done in this legislative session, and it had both Democrat and Republican votes. K-12 education is not a partisan issue. It's an Arizona issue and an American issue, and it's something Arizona can be proud of. Arizona children are leading the country in improvement in math and reading. That's a testament to our teachers. I'm glad they've earned this raise and reward.
You did take some flack, though, for not meeting with the Red for Red people. Why didn't you meet
with them? I meet with teachers. I meet with superintendents. I'm not going to meet with political organizers and union heads.
Their main objection, again, was about this dedicated funding, and you're saying it's the...
There's no problem with dedicated funding. We've committed the general fund to this. What the organizers and the union heads want was not a pay increase for teachers. They want to see a tax increase on the ballot. They want to turn Arizona into a carbon copy of California, and if people do that, it'll kill our economy. We have passed a 20% pay increase for our teachers. I'm proud of it. It's committed in the budget, but raising taxes in the state of Arizona, especially income taxes, is going to stop the 300-plus companies that have come here. It's going to have people leaving our states. People have an option of Nevada, Utah, and Colorado in the western U.S. Right now, Arizona is in the leading position. We're among the fastest-growing states in the country. They want to have a tax increase. I don't want to raise taxes, especially when our general fund is overrun with tax dollars because of population growth and economic growth and larger paychecks. Arizona's headed in the right direction, and I want to secure Arizona's future.
And now, looking ahead, what about further plans for education funding?
Well, I think there's always more we can do for education. And yes, resources are a part of it, but I don't want to make spending the measure of success. I want to continue to focus on those outcomes inside the classroom, fourth and eighth grade math, reading, and science. And then how about career and technical education? When I was in high school, we had a class called CHOP. Today, it's called Career and Technical Education. Those are the skilled trades, the plumbers, the electricians, the technicians. The places so many different industries around our state will tell you that they can't find people that are skilled. These are high-paying jobs. The smartest guy in my graduating class from college went on to be a lawyer. He called me up and said, Doug, you can shut down all the law schools. We don't need any more lawyers in Arizona. We need a plumber in Yavapai County. These are not only high-paying jobs, but they're opportunities for people to become entrepreneurs, to run their own business, to have some flexibility in their own schedules as they raise their families. I think we can have a real focus on that in the state of Arizona, and that's where I want to see some dollars directed as we grow.
Jobs is a great segue for us because Yuma County, new numbers for unemployment coming out just last week. Yuma County, once again, the highest unemployment rate in the country. There's been some progress on that, and some of the problem in Yuma is, of course, the ag industry, which sort of skews the numbers in terms of the seasonal workforce. But I'm wondering, are we just used to this high number for Yuma County, or is there a plan to do something about the high unemployment in this region?
Well, there is a plan, and I want to say Yuma County is the leafy green capital of the world, is something, of course, that we're proud of, but we know with the agricultural community does come a lot of this uncertainty and unpredictability around employment. We've tried to be a administration that not only leads for the urban areas, but also for the rural areas. I think we can have more of a focus on the rural areas. Think of it as a Rural Jobs Act. Just like we want to get broadband across the state so all of our kids have accessibility to that. I think this idea of our Commerce Authority, which has been very successful in our urban areas, Maricopa County today is the fastest growing county in the country. The last time unemployment statewide was this low, people were renting their movies from Blockbuster. Now is the time to focus on our rural counties. There's a lot of opportunity. People are fleeing California, Illinois, and places like Connecticut. And there's a lot of job owners that need the unique attributes that are available in an agricultural rural community like Yuma. I think it's the idea that we focus on that, make it part of our mission, and then bring those job creators here.
Do you sit around and when you hear the Yuma employment number, does it bother you?
Oh, of course. I want to see all of our citizens in the state have an opportunity for growth and success. And understanding that number and how we got to where we are, the importance of the agricultural community here, but also to bring other things that we've been able to do in other parts of the state. We have been able to bring manufacturing and plants and distribution into rural areas. We want to have Yuma at the table from an economic development and a pitch perspective, because as governor, I really don't care where a company relocates as long as it's in Arizona, and I'm always thrilled it's a rural county. I'd be even more thrilled if it was Yuma County.
The trade through the San Luis ports is down about a third since the beginning of the year. Part of that's ag. But talk about trade with Mexico. You mentioned Mexico being Arizona's number one trade partner, NAFTA in renegotiations. Now, do you support those renegotiations? What would you like to see come out of them?
Mexico is critical to Arizona. It's our number one trading partner, and it's not even close, Lou. It's times four. So I've been a fan of free trade. If we want to call it free and fair trade, I can embrace that. NAFTA was written 23 plus years ago. It was written in a rotary phone economy. The world has changed dramatically. We've seen things go digital, the internet, broadband, the cloud. I'm sure there's improvements that could be made, but what I don't want to see is us to build a wall around our economy. I think that this relationship, our geography with Mexico, has allowed us to bring Lucid Motor Company from Northern California to Pinal County to build a manufacturing plant to make that commitment. They've done that because of our relationship with Mexico. This is something we want to continue and expand for our citizens and job growth and creation and capital formation in the state of Arizona.
Does it concern you? Because right now, the U.S. government and the Mexican government are on a they're tariff trading right now.
This is a negotiation. This is going to be something that's handled out of Washington, D.C., but we have been strong advocates from the Arizona-Mexico Commission. I have a good relationship with this administration. I knew Vice President Mike Pence before I ran for governor, so I've been outspoken. Basically, the same things I'm saying to you on the radio and the listeners today are the same things I've said to the president, to the vice president, to the trade representatives, to the ambassador of Mexico. This is a relationship we value. We're lucky to have Mexico as a neighbor, as a nation. We've got two big oceans, and then we've got Canada to the north. I'm someone who believes in North American free trade. I think it makes us stronger, more prosperous, and more peaceful as a nation, and it's something I want to see move forward.
And Governor, thank you so much for your time. I have one more just a topic to bring up, and that's water. Right now, Arizona, California, and Nevada are sort of stuck in some odd negotiations for a drought contingency plan. Some saying that it's Arizona's fault that it's stalled, and that's because the Central Arizona Project and the Department of Water Resources can't seem to decide who's in charge. What's your take on this, and how important is it that this get figured out?
Water is critical for the state of Arizona. This is something we're very good at. You could make the case that we're the best in the nation at water. Look at the state now, 7 million plus, the fifth largest metropolitan area in the world, much of it right in the middle of the desert. I want to see our state speak with one voice on water, and it is time for legislative reforms. We're working with individual legislators, leaders, and constituencies around the state. It's been since the 1980 Groundwater Management Act that anything has really been done on water. So we do want to make sure people are properly educated on this. I think there's a saying that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. We've seen that some of that is true, but it is time for people to come together and for the state to speak with one voice on water. We haven't participated in California's water shortage. That's because we stand on the shoulders of giants. We have really thought ahead and been responsible on water. That's something we'll complete in the first year of a second term.
Along those lines, and last question, I looked up before you came in today that the average price that Arizonans pay for electricity each month is $122. The average price they pay a month for water is $38. Is that a skewed priority?
Well, here's another statistic for you. In Arizona, we use less water today than we did in 1957. Okay, think about the augmentation that we've had, the conservation that we've had. Our population's grown six times.
Shout out to Yuma Ag.
Yeah.
They're really good at it, actually.
They're really good. They've applied technology and innovation. Our economy's grown 19 times. So I do think this is all part of the water discussion. I want to see Arizonans have the lowest possible taxes while having excellent K-12 education. I don't want to see anybody pay more for water unless they're using more water. People expect when they turn on the faucet, they're going to see water. When they move to the state of Arizona, if they want to put some greenery in, they can. We certainly love our pools here. We've got a great quality of life. We're in the middle of a 23-year drought, and yet we've been able to continue to grow. There is responsible policy possible, and that's part of the role and responsibility of the governor, and that's what I'm going to complete.
Governor Ducey, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Lou. I really appreciate it.
Good to go. Thanks.
Thank you.